Philippians chapter 3, we've been in Philippians now for several weeks, and we're going to kind of pick up where we were last week, Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 7. And there also, mark in your Bible or turn to your Bible or mark wherever and how you do that in your phone or your, you know, your electronic Bible, but also look up Luke 13:22. Luke 13:22. So we're going to be in Philippians 3:7 and Luke 13:22. We're going to be in those two places, and we're kind of going to be flipping back and forth. I've been in Philippians, and I was really encouraged by what Paul says in Philippians. But then what Jesus said in Luke 13 really parallels what Paul was saying. So I'm kind of bringing them both together today to really talk about what we've been singing about all morning. I tell you, those songs were just perfect for my sermon today about what Jesus did. He gave his life so that we can have eternal life, and that he has, he died for us so that we can live eternity with him. And great worship this morning that really just fit in with my message. But, you know, talking about heaven, I got a story for you. There was a lady who died, and she got to the gates of heaven, and she looked around and, you know, seen family and friends, and she, you know, people were waving at her and saying hi, you know. And so she walked up to the gatekeeper and she said, "What do I have to do to get in, you know?" And he goes, "Well, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is spell one word." And she's like, "Okay, what is that one word?" And he goes, the gatekeeper said, "Love." Well, L-O-V-E. "All right, you're in." Great. So she made it into heaven. And a year or two later, she has gatekeeping duty. And she's on duty there. And all of a sudden, her husband walks up. And she's like, "Wow, you know, I didn't expect to see you here." And he's, you know, she was surprised that he was there. And he goes, "Yeah, you know." And she goes, "Well, how you been, you know?" And he goes, "Well, you know, actually, since you died, you remember that little blonde nurse that waited on you while you were ill?" "Yeah." "Well, we fell in love and got married. And then I won the lottery. And, you know, we built a mansion. And we've been traveling the world and just having a great time, you know. And actually, we were in the Swiss Alps skiing. And I got caught in an avalanche. And that's why I'm here." So his wife looked at him. And he goes, "So how do I get in?" And she goes, "Well, you got to spell one word." And he's like, "What's that?" "Czechoslovakia." There's a lot of different ideas and understanding on how to get to heaven. Amen? And spelling a word is not one of them. I'm glad, because I'm not very good at spelling. I rely a lot on my spell check on my computer, and it even fails me many times too. So, but there's a lot of different ideas on heaven and eternal life and how people get to heaven. And today, as we look at Philippians and in the book of Luke, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about winning that prize of being with Christ and spending eternity with him, because that is what heaven's going to be about. It's not the streets of gold and all of that, you know, all the different little ideas people have about heaven and, you know, eternal golf and, you know, all those things. No, it's about Jesus and spending eternity worshiping our God. Amen? And worshiping him. And so let's begin reading in Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verse 7. And before I start reading, as we read it, I just want to remind you, last week I defined as what Paul says here when he uses the word loss. The word loss is a term that was used by sailors whenever they were out at sea and their ship was full of cargo and they got in a bad storm and the boat was rocking and, you know, about to sink. They would begin to throw overboard their cargo. They would begin to lighten their load. They would begin to throw over what was necessary to live and to survive. And that terminology that when Paul uses the word loss, He's saying everything is lost, everything is rubbish, everything I just threw overboard for Christ. So let's read verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider them lost. I threw it overboard for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For those for whose sake I have lost all things. Everything went overboard, he says. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Notice as we read through here, as Paul is talking about those things, the resurrection from the dead in heaven. Verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Everyone say heavenward. In Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should have such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained, join with others and following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern which we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Amen? Can you say amen about that today? Paul is saying, I consider everything lost. I've thrown everything overboard so that I can know Jesus, that I can attain that life, that resurrected life, that I can be called heavenward, that my citizenship is in heaven. It's no longer here on this earth. He goes, I want to win the prize. As he says there in verse 14, I want to win. I'm pressing on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. God has called you heavenward in Christ. God has a prize for you. And he's calling you heavenward in Christ. Paul says, I count everything loss to win the prize. I count it all loss. It's all rubbish that I can win Christ. Well, what did he give up? What was Paul expecting to get him to heaven as a Jew? Well, if you look back a few verses there to verses 4 through 6, you will see how he, at one time in his life, he relied upon being a Jew, being circumcised, being an Israelite, being of the tribe of Benjamin, being a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, zealous and legalistically righteous. That's what he thought would get him to heaven. That's what he assumed, that, hey, if I'm a good Jew, and if I'm legalistic righteous, and I have a good heritage, I got good parents, All of those things were at one time what he relied on to get him to heaven. And then he says in verse 7, those are the things that I thought were profitable to me, but now I consider them all rubbish, lost. I threw all that overboard because now I realize that the only way to heaven is to know Christ. That's the only thing important. None of that will get me there. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that I know Christ and that my citizenship is not on this earth anymore. My citizenship is in heaven. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 13 also. Let's see what Jesus had to say then about this. Luke 13, verse 22. Luke 13, 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. So he's teaching as they're walking along. He's teaching the multitude, those that were following him there to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And someone asked that question probably because of what he was teaching. You know, he was teaching as they go, and someone's like, Lord, do you mean that there's only going to be a few of us that are going to be saved? And this is how he answered. He said in verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. So Paul said, the only thing that's important is that I know Christ. And Jesus then says, hey, the only way to get through the narrow door is to know me. Because those that didn't make it when the door was closed, and those that who were outside, those who were wanting in after the door was closed, were pleading and begging, Lord, let us in. But he says, I can't because I don't know you. I don't know you. Both Paul and Jesus are saying, hey, the most important thing in the world is to know him. To know him. You have to go through that narrow door. You have to go through that narrow door. Some translations use the word gate. You have to enter through him, that narrow door. See, at that time, the Jewish teachers of the law, the rabbis and teachers of the law, pretty much taught everybody that, hey, if you're a Jew, you're of, you know, the Jewish descent, you're a good Jew, you know, pretty much all of you are going to heaven, except maybe a few of the bad ones. You know, all you have to do is, you know, kind of do your best to maintain the law, and, you know, pretty much everyone's going to make it. But Jesus is saying, well, was teaching them, and all of a sudden someone's like, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like what we've been taught by the rabbis. The rabbis are saying, hey, we're all going to make it. And then Jesus is saying, hey, no, only those that go through the narrow door, only those that know me, the Messiah, are going to make it, are going to be saved. He was saying there's only one way. Most Christians today, if you was to go out on the streets and begin to ask people, hey, when you die, are you going to heaven? The majority, I've seen some polls saying as high as 90, 95% of Americans expect to go to heaven when they die. Why? Well, I'm an American. We're a Christian nation. I have good parents. I went to church as a child. I was maybe even confirmed or baptized when I was a baby. I'm a good person, and all of these reasons to say, hey, I should go to heaven because of all of these things. And that's exactly what Paul said. I should go to heaven. I thought I was going to heaven because I was a Jew and I was righteous and I was, you know, all of these things. But Jesus says many will try to enter heaven. Many will try through many avenues, many ways to get to heaven, but will not be able to because I never knew you, he says. I never knew you. Now, those words seem a little bit kind of politically incorrect today, don't they, in our world today? In our world and the way it is today, and, you know, if Jesus was to live today and he was to be walk through the streets of America today and preaching, hey, the only way you'll ever go to heaven is to believe in me, he would be, you know, laughed at and ostracized. And just what they did to him 2,000 years ago when he said that, you know what they did to him? They took him and crucified him. That's what they did. They're like, ha! Who are you to think that we're not good enough? We're Jews. We're religious. We're self-righteous. We keep the law and all these things. And it was the religious people, the Jews, the religious people who thought that they were righteous in themselves who crucified Jesus for saying, hey, the only way you're going to heaven is through me. So today in our world, most Americans are just as confused as the Jews were of his day on how to get to heaven. You know, there's one popular teaching out there that says it like this, and I'll try to illustrate it like this. There are many people that say, you know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like going down here to the Wichita airport, and we want to go from Wichita to, let's say, Los Angeles, LAX in Los Angeles. And to get there, you can go down here to the airport and you can get on United or Southwest or American Airlines or whichever one you want. Just pick whichever way you want to get there, and you're going to get there. You're going to arrive. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's just that you arrive there. It doesn't matter how you get to heaven. There's many ways. There's many airlines to get to heaven. There's many avenues, you know, Buddha, Muhammad, Allah, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. They'll all get you to the same place. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said there's only one way. There's only one narrow door. You know, if you was to go to Seattle, though, and you was to try to fly from Seattle, Washington to Sitka, Alaska, you know what? There's only one way. There's only one airline. And if you don't fly Alaska Airlines, you're not getting to Sitka, Alaska. And that's the way it is with Christ. If you want to get to heaven, there's only one way. There's only one airline. And that's Jesus Christ. He said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. He didn't speak of different doors. He didn't speak of different ways to get there. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The narrow door. One narrow door. In John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't say I was one of the ways or the best way, but I am the only way. And you have to be very intentional about him. and who he is and knowing him and that he is the way. And that's why he said there to make every effort. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Jesus was saying that if you want to win the prize, you have to be intentional. You have to make an effort to go through that narrow door. Paul said back in Philippians, if you go back to Philippians there where we were earlier in chapter 3 again, verse 13 and 14, Paul said this. He says, everything is lost. I'm going to give it all up. I'm going to throw it all overboard to know Christ. And he says, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be very intentional about this. I'm going to be very focused about this. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting all that religion, growing up, self-righteousness, forgetting all of that, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm going to forget it all. I'm going to press on. I'm going to be intentional about Jesus winning the prize, being called heavenward in Christ. Amen? Make every effort, Jesus said. Make every effort. You know, that word effort, when Jesus says, make every effort to enter the narrow door, that's a terminology that an athlete would use or a soldier would use. It's a terminology that means I will pay the price. I will suffer reproach. I will work hard. I will labor fervently. I will contend. I will contend for the prize. I will lay it all aside. I will be intentional about winning the prize. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul said this about contending, making effort, winning the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must also, he says, run in such a way that you will win. Run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for our eternal prize, an eternal prize. That's our prize, amen? The eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. And that was out of the New Living Translation. He says, I want to win the prize, the eternal prize. And I'm going to run straight at the goal. I'm going to be purposely, every step, every part of my life and being is about winning the prize. Winning the prize. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13. He said, enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads into destruction. And there are many who go by it. Many who go by it. Many who go through the road that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There are few. Jesus kept using the word narrow. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the door that leads to eternal life. Now, we can't earn our way to heaven. That's what Paul tried to do. We can't earn our way. We can't work our way. It is a gift of God. Jesus Christ paid the price, and it is by grace through faith in Christ that we receive eternal life. And so when he uses the word narrow, it means to, it's restrictive. It's restrictive. It's narrow. It's something that you have to press through. It's not wide for everybody to walk through, but it's restrictive. It's a narrow gate. And you only get in, you can't go through the door, through the gate as a group. But it's singular. One person, you individually, by yourself, individually can make it through. In other words, he is saying, it doesn't matter. You can't get in because you're an American. You can't get in because you're a Jew. You can't get in because you're religious. You can't get in because of your parents. You can't get in because you attend Life Point Church. No. He's saying the only way to get in is for you individually to know Christ and to intentionally know Him, pursue Him, live for Him, know Him now and enjoy Him now in this world that we live in the now. Enjoy Him today, know Him today, and if you know Him today, you'll know Him for eternity. To know Him. It's intentional. To spend eternity with Him is intentional. Make every effort to enter the narrow door. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I'm like, you know what? I'm ready. Life here on earth is great, it's grand, it's wonderful. We can have a great life on this earth with Jesus, and He lives in us and He lives through us, and we can enjoy all the wonderful blessings and all that we have here on this earth. But this is not the eternal prize, is it? This is not the end. This is not the ultimate goal. Paul says, my citizenship is in heaven, not here, not on this earth, but in heaven. That's my focus. That's my goal, is to be heavenward with Christ. And he says there in verse 20, Philippians 3, verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Someday, amen, this life is going to be over for me. And when God determines that, when God decides that, that's okay. That's wonderful. That's fine, because I eagerly await, like Paul says, more than what this life has to offer. More than this eternal earthly existence. I eagerly await my Savior. Amen? The eternal prize. The eternal prize of being with Christ. I eagerly await that. You know, every one of us will die someday. You know, Paul talked about the race that he ran to win the prize, to run with purpose, to make every step purposeful, to win the prize. Because at the end of every race, there's a finish line, isn't there? You run for the finish line. You don't just run to run. You know, you run for the finish line. He said, every race has a finish line. And I eagerly await it. Eagerly. You know, I think of that eagerly await reminds me as a kid, when I was a kid, eagerly awaiting for Christmas morning. Amen? You know? Like, you couldn't sleep all night because you just couldn't wait to get the prize. Every race has a finish line. Every game has a final outcome. And it wasn't good for Kansas State yesterday, was it? Every game has an outcome. And Paul is saying, I eagerly await the outcome of my life, that when this life is over, I'm going to win the prize and be with Christ, spend eternity with him. And in Luke 13, 25, Jesus described it like this. He says, one day, the owner of the house is going to get up and shut the door. He's going to shut the door. And those that are still standing outside the door will be knocking on it and crying and pleading and saying, let us in, let us in. But he will answer, I do not know you. One day, as Paul said, Jesus is going to come back from heaven. And he's going to come back for the people that know him, that love him, that have a relationship with him, that have entered, who have strived, who have entered through the narrow door into him and in a relationship with him. And those who have entered the door already will be safe. They will be with him. And one day that door is going to be closed, and those who have entered through and who have strived, who have gone through the narrow door, will be safe and sound to spend eternity with him. But those on the outside of the door who didn't know him will be closed out and will want in, and he'll say, I'm sorry, you had your chance to know me, but you didn't. That door will become a door of distinction between those who made an effort to enter through the narrow door and those who didn't. It will become a door of denial. Today the door is still open. Today the door is wide open, and Jesus is saying, come unto me, come. Come through the door. Come to me. And the door is a door of mercy and grace, and Jesus crying out and pleading for people to come to him, to know him, and to come in the door before the door is closed. Because once the door is closed, it will become a door of denial. And those on the outside will be denied the prize, the eternal prize of knowing Christ and spending eternity with him. Today, my question is, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you made every effort to enter through the narrow door? Both Paul and Jesus said the most important thing in life is to know him. Your choice of knowing him or not knowing him has eternal consequences. One wins the prize, one is left out. Will you bow your head with me this morning? And please just close your eyes, because this has eternal importance. The most important decision of your life is whether or not you choose to know Christ. So please, no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, and search your own heart and search your own life and say, you know, maybe I'm just like Paul. maybe I'm just like a lot of other Americans who I grew up in church and I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, I was even baptized or confirmed and as a baby. And, you know, I'm religious. I'm a religious person. Like Paul said, all of that is garbage. All of that should be just thrown overboard. All of that is lost compared to knowing Christ and spending eternity with Him. None of that will get you to heaven. Only entering through the narrow door will get you to heaven. And that door is Christ. So this morning, I ask you, do you know Him? Do you know Him? I didn't ask you if you were religious. I didn't ask you if you were a good person. I didn't ask you anything except, do you know Christ? Does He live in your heart? Have you invited Him into your life to be your God, your Savior, your Lord? Have you invited Him to wash away your sin and cleanse you and make you whole? Have you invited Him? If you haven't this morning, I'm going to ask you right now, will you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor Steve, I have not. I don't know Christ. Today, I want to make that decision to know Him. And just slip up your hand and just for a moment so I can see it. And then you can lower it. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you this morning to make the most important decision in your life to know Christ. Is there anyone this morning? Is there anyone this morning? Thank you. Is there anyone else today? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together this prayer. Let's all pray it together out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, today I choose to know You. Today I choose to follow You, to be Your disciple. Today I intentionally decide to throw everything else aside and follow You. I invite You today to forgive me of my sin, to make me clean, to make me a new person. I invite You to live in me. Be my God, be my Lord, be my Savior today. I choose to know You. Amen.